Thank you for this opportunity. I'm here to represent the American Medical Association, and the title of my presentation is Working Together to Prevent Diabetes and Improve Blood Pressure. Sadly, I do not have any conflict of interest. If you know of anyone who will pay for population health improvement, please let me know. I'd love to speak with them. We all know that healthcare is evolving rapidly. And I think a lot of things are known, but there are some facts which are not known. And I'd like to highlight that as of 2014, more than 20 million people are in a accountable care organization. And that's news. This is for real, and it's evolving. I always put up a picture of the Secretary of Health whenever I have to talk about the Affordable Care Act. This anxious look on her face is when she was making the announcement that the value-based payment model would be the predominant way in which Medicare would reimburse physicians and other healthcare providers. The AMA focus on improving health outcomes really speaks about a long-term commitment. We are talking 10, 15, 20 years to prevent heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes, and to improve population health outcomes for these conditions. Our approach is to address the salient risk factors for heart disease and stroke and type 2 diabetes. And as all of you are aware, these include hypertension, which affects 86 million American adults, and 80 million American adults, and prediabetes, which affects 86 million American adults. Now, what are the challenges to this type of population health improvement work for physicians and for healthcare providers? I think the numbers speak for themselves. Physicians and healthcare teams cannot possibly address the healthcare needs of more than 80 million people. It's just not humanly possible. Physicians and care teams do not have the time, and I would dare to say the training to counsel patients about lifestyle changes required to improve prediabetes or hypertension. They do not have enough information about community-based resources outside their office for prediabetes or hypertension, and most importantly, the social determinants of health, which have such a strong role to play in population health outcomes, and the prevalent inequities in healthcare delivery need to be addressed as well. How can we convert these challenges into opportunities? And that's where the working together comes into action. We need to meet patients' needs where they live, work, play, and pray. We need to expand the size and definition of care teams. And this is a very important point that I've spent most of my time going around the country trying to explain. We need to add new members from outside the medical office, and that includes patients and their families. We need to improve community clinical linkages to boost the utilization of much-needed community-based resources for prevention and population health improvement. And finally, everyone needs to team up with everyone else to address the social determinants of health and the pervasive inequities in healthcare delivery. So the AMA is helping to develop solutions that can help care teams become familiar with and apply the latest scientific evidence. And a key element of this work is to synthesize the evidence in a form that is accessible and comprehensible to people from all walks of the healthcare profession, not just physicians. So we have developed checklists, podcasts, and posters and other materials that I'll give you some examples of. We have to work to allow medical practices to reliably identify people in need of treatment. One of the challenges in medical practices, just because of the way they've become organized over time, is that it's really hard to single out a population for focusing special attention. And we are working to solve that by developing and deploying electronic health record system queries, risk screens, and process maps for practices to help do that. We need to promote a culture of teamwork and reliability. And so the AMA has set up a full suite of practice management tools and resources to help practices with just that. We need to finally promote community clinical linkages and learn how to work across boundaries to serve as a convener and facilitator. And that's the role that organized medicine can play. There's a lot on this slide, and I understand, but I think you'll all recognize there is a tectonic shift that is going on in healthcare. We certainly feel it as the team and I go out and travel around the country speaking with doctors and leaders in health systems. So I said I'd give you some examples. One example is a Steps Forward module, and this is a branded effort by the AMA to provide education and training materials for not just clinicians, but other members of the care team. In fact, anyone among the audience today can go onto our website, log on. You have to give your name and email address just to register. You don't have to pay anything, and download these materials. And most of them are at a level where at least a health educator, but I would say anyone, even a patient and family member, could at least try and begin to understand. Now, one of the things that I'm proud about is the collaboration that the AMA has with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention around diabetes prevention. And we have launched an effort earlier in the year to educate public health professionals, physicians, care team members about the burden of prediabetes and the fact that this is a reversible condition. And you can do something about it to prevent a lot of at-risk people from progressing to full-blown type 2 diabetes. The materials and resources related to this effort are available at this website, preventdiabetesstat.org. Now, a word about how we came about with this approach and why are our tools different than what used to happen before. So typically, I've been in practice 15 years. I would read a medical journal and try to apply what I discovered in my practice, which is incredibly challenging because the medical journals published scientific studies in a very abbreviated way. It's cryptic. You really can't figure out what was done in the study, actually. And so we needed to understand what the needs and barriers are in a practice and create tools that people within a practice or, frankly, outside the practice could use. But in order to do that, the team working at the AMA needed to understand what the barriers are, what the challenges are. And so we spent 2 years working with YMC of the USA, a community-based organization that has its national headquarters in Chicago as well, under a Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation Healthcare Innovation Award. And the role that the AMA played in 8 states working across 17 communities was to connect clinical practices with local YMCA-based diabetes prevention programs. We supported practices with screening, testing, and referral, and in this effort, we developed connections with and worked closely with state and local medical societies. This is a description of the kind of work that needs to happen in practices. So the key message is that the burden of disease, the prevalence, all that needs to be done is so much that medical offices cannot handle this on their own. They need help. Health educators obviously are a natural source for that kind of help and support. So to illustrate what exactly happened in these states that I highlighted in one of my previous slides in our work with YMC of the USA, we would go into a practice with co-branded tools and provide expert consultative advice to enable a practice to identify people who are at risk. And then we would facilitate connections between the practice and a local community-based prevention program so that people with prediabetes could participate in such a program. But we went beyond that. We really wanted to set up permanent bridges and connections between the practice and these community-based resources. And I think that has to be the key message, that the bridges have to be permanent and they have to have two-way flow of information and patients. So sorry about the busy slide, but this illustrates one of the tools that we created to help practices manage high blood pressure. Now, I don't plan for you to read everything that's on the slide, but I wanted to illustrate is that this material is really written at a level that anyone can understand. These materials are posted online. Patients, their families, health educators, anyone can go on the AMA website, download these materials. We have given away the playbook so that everyone, quite literally, is on the same page. So there's simple stuff like if you're checking a blood pressure, the person has to use the correct cuff size. They have to be positioned correctly with their back supported, their feet on the ground. Really mundane things, but this is the heart of the matter. Because these things are not done reliably in a practice, we don't have good information about blood pressure measurement, and consequently, physicians don't take action and people's blood pressure remains uncontrolled. Now, on the right side of this slide is one of the key areas that we are focusing on, which is partnering with patients, families, and communities. So in order to empower patients, and that's the message here, how can we empower patients to control their blood pressure? We advocate using evidence-based communication strategies. We support self-measurement of blood pressure, and that's an area where education can come in handy. Similarly, we are directing patients and their families to community-based resources. One of the things that I'm proud of is our effort to perpetuate self-measured blood pressure monitoring. That's what SMBP stands for in practices and, frankly, in the community. Because in order to get everyone engaged in the kinds of behaviors that need to happen for them to improve blood pressure, people need to understand what their numbers are. They need to be facile in the use of devices for checking their blood pressure at home, whether it's with a home blood pressure monitor or in a kiosk in a pharmacy. And we'll hear about that from CVS in a little bit, I hope. So we are providing guidance for physicians, care teams, patients, and family members, and training and educational materials as well. But speaking to the people who don't have resources to even afford a blood pressure monitor, we have teamed up with practices to enable them to give out blood pressure devices as part of a loaner program. And I'm going to just ask, how many of these devices do you think went missing in all the work we have done? Zero. People don't steal blood pressure monitors. So I think it's just eye-opening, because when we first went out and talked to practices, they were worried they wouldn't get their devices back, but that never came to pass. So I think it's okay to take a bit of a risk and then see where things go. That's all I wanted to talk about. I look forward to your questions. Really, my purpose in coming here is to understand how we can do even more collaboration than is already going on, and what the role of health educators can be, and it most likely, hopefully, will be in the future as the Affordable Care Act gets implemented across our nation. Thank you.